You know, it's always great to talk about Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. And we'll talk about Wisconsin today with Mike Bino. Back with us, he's editor of Our Wisconsin. It's a magazine that's packed with stories, photos, recipes, and they're all about things that make Wisconsin special. So maybe there's a fun summer event happening in your part of Wisconsin. You want to talk about that? Or maybe you have a recommendation for a summer road trip or a kind of a cool place that you could tell Mike about that he might wind up having somebody write about. Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Mike Bino, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Larry. It's always great to get with you and get with your listeners because on your show, you pretty much do what we do here on Our Wisconsin Magazine. You do a lot of celebrating this great place where we live.
Absolutely. And this month I've had a couple of opportunities to get around the state. I was and actually got to see you in Minocqua a few weeks back at the Science on Tap show in Minocqua at the Minocqua Brewery. And then this last weekend I was Stevens Point, the Central Wisconsin Listeners Appreciation Event that was held at the Central Rivers Farm Shed. You could do a neat story on that place. We had a lot of fun. Thanks to the gang up there, Rick Ryer and everybody, for helping me out. But there's always a lot of fun things to do, isn't there?
Yeah, it's the best time to get around. I mean, you don't have to worry about the weather now, and tourism's in full swing. The other thing that's in full swing is there's baby animals all over the place I'm hearing about.
Man, your cover, by the way, that bear cub, that had to be a close shot. It's a beautiful shot in your June-July magazine. How'd that come about?
Thank you very much. Keith Crowley, who's a great wildlife photographer and videographer of Hudson, lives in Hudson, came up with that shot. He happened to see this cub, I think when he was driving, and he stopped and he had a long enough lens that he could get a photo. And we're getting a lot of comments on that wonderful cover. Right here in our office, Trish, who works with us, they have some little bit of hunting property north of Mercer. They're seeing tumbling, playing bear cubs out there all the time. Just this past Friday, loon nesting platform that I put out 15 years ago had not been working, left it to the mallards. My neighbor moved it. And we've got the first chick hatched off of it on Friday, little gray cork swimming alongside the two parents who are dutifully on patrol alongside that little rascal.
So you got a new addition to the family.
It's wonderful. I'm a papa. No cigars.
That's great. Well, as I looked in the, as reading through the magazine, the first thing that struck me was the, frankly, one of my favorite stories was the one of the 86-year-old guy in Plymouth who's building amazing rock walls, and the photo in there, I just hard to believe that he could be able to do that. Talk about him.
Oh, this is amazing, and I'll talk a little bit about how folks can see this photo. It's up on our website, but we got a tip in here, and this is where the best stories come from. People will call, write in, email, what have you. Hey, guess what's going on over here? Well, what's going on at Greenbush near Plymouth is a man by the name of Joe Weinbauer. He's 86 years old, and he's for decades now been the caretaker of a cemetery there, mowing the lawn, things like that. He owns some farm property on either side of the cemetery. There was a stone wall in the cemetery built more than 100 years ago by a caretaker named Clint D. Chapman. And Joe got it in his mind he'd like to build a wall of his own. Okay. The wall he has built is 1,600 feet in length, nearly a third of a mile. He estimates he has lifted 2.3 million pounds of stone because he handles every one of the stones three times, okay? He, for tools, he's used nothing but a crowbar, a grub hoe, a shovel, a string line in his eyes, and he uses no mortar, okay?
Yeah.
This, you're right about this photo, and people can see it at ourwisconsinmag.com. But this stone wall that he's built with no mortar is tight, it's compact, it's perfectly perpendicular, it's perfectly level on top. And this man, as I said, is 86, and he's smashed his fingers in innumerable times. He's worn out gloves. He's
dropped rocks on his toes.
No steel toes for him. He's 86. He's had rotator cuff surgery twice, a heart attack, five bypasses, eight stents, and he's lifted all these rocks, and he's, in my book, he's Superman. And people, since this story has gone in, people have written us, they've called to us, they said, I've driven by those walls. It's near Wade House. I've driven by those walls many times, and I wondered who built them. I didn't realize one man in his middle 80s built this thing. It has no mortar, and he's responsible for it. The other thing is he's got a new idea, okay? He's going to finish this by the time he's 90, he says. He's going to take the top 6 inches off of all of it. He's going to put, let's call it a little pitch, a little roof in there. He's got some impermeable fabric used at cheese plants to pack product on pallets. He's going to put that over it, then replace the 6 inches of rocks. In this way, it keeps the snow from settling in and freezing and thawing and getting moisture within the, in those walls. If you get near Plymouth, drive in near Wade House, look for this at Greenbush Cemetery. It is amazing, and he works there every day in the summer.
And, you know, we put that photo up, Jill put it up on our Facebook page as well, so if you want to go to our Facebook page, you can see it too.
Great.
It is amazing, amazing story. Well, Marlene in Manitowoc has something for us. Let's go there. Marlene, hi.
Good morning. I just want to tell you, you are the best magazine, and I give it as gifts. It's a great gift giver.
God bless you, Marlene.
What I'm calling about, there are so many micro beer breweries in Wisconsin, some in the southwest and others in the middle of the state. Have you ever done a micro brewery tour for some of us to take? If you could feature some in a same location, that we could do a little car trip to do micro breweries.
I'm ready to go with you, Marlene. Larry will come with us, too.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. You know, microbreweries are a growing phenomenon. It's hard to find a town that does not have them, I think. But that's a good idea, and I think I'm taking down notes here. A tip, I'm with you.
Thank you very much for calling. As a matter of fact, that sort of leads into, you do have a tour scheduled, if I'm not mistaken, and you made some room for more people.
Yeah, we have a tour, and it's only being run, we started it last year. It's a tour through the Driftless region of Wisconsin. I've said it here before. I live in northern Vilas County, and I love it up north, but I really think the Driftless region with those ridges is the prettiest area of Wisconsin. Sorry to my neighbors, but it's gorgeous down there. Simply put, three-quarters of the state does not look like this because the glaciers never touched this area. And, yes, we have a tour through the Driftless region, and it ran last year. This year, we're going to wind it up. So there's still two departures, September 30th through October 5th and October 7th through 12th, 6 days, 5 nights. And you stop at many places, private places you couldn't get to visit on your own. These are folks who have been in the pages of our magazine and have offered to open up their places and let you come and see working border collies herding sheep with the British folks who emigrated here. Have lunch at the mess hall at Fort McCoy. A lot of fun stuff to do.
Mike Mino, our guest today, he is the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. And if you have a comment about the magazine or maybe a special event that's going on in your neighborhood that you want to talk about, or maybe you've got an idea for Mike about something that his magazine could cover, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Love to hear from you. You had a nice story in the magazine this time about the utility workers from Wisconsin who worked in Puerto Rico this year.
Yeah, came to the rescue. Now that story, and it's a heartfelt story. Puerto Rico got slammed with hurricanes Maria and Irma last September. Okay, now we've all had times when the power goes out, and it's frustrating. And you live a few hours without power, and you're turning on switches. Oh yeah, they don't work. You're worrying about losing the food in the freezer. That sort of thing comes with summer storms. Imagine living without power five months straight. Homes, hospitals, schools, nursing centers, everything without electricity, running water for nearly half a year. I can't imagine that. And so 60 utility workers from Wisconsin, from Wisconsin Public Service and We Energies, volunteered to go there and help put the lights back on. Okay. Now, to do that, they had to load their 30 or more of these big cherry picker trucks on ships and ship them over to Puerto Rico, where they joined utility crews from probably a dozen other states. And this was voluntary. I mean, they were getting paid for their work, but this is 16-hour days, 7 days a week, in jungle heat with jungle insects, antiquated equipment, tiny, narrow streets. And it got worse when they got out into the rural areas once they put the lights on within towns, because it's very mountainous. And part of the problem was even finding lines underneath all of that down vegetation. So they got there, and they met some of their brotherhood from Con Ed, the utilities in New York, where they went out and helped in 2012, Hurricane Sandy. The guys in New York love the guys from Wisconsin because they work like savages. And also, they were very impressed. The guys from Wisconsin know how to dig in poles by hand and won't hesitate to do it. So the New York guys said, hey, when we heard Wisconsin's coming, let them work with us. They call it their New York West contingent. But the neat thing about this was, street after street, devastation, these line technicians are out there working. And people are coming out of their homes, bringing them food, water, bringing them into their homes for meals. They say, hey, we got to get back to work, folks. They put on the lights at a school, and people start cheering. All the little kids came out. Later, they invited them back because little kids wanted to do a skit for these people and these workers, and made little gifts for them. And you've got these big, tough guys wearing leather gloves with hard hats with tears streaming down their faces.
Yeah.
Because seeing the joy and thankfulness in these people that they really rescued. And they were there from January until March, and, seeing
amazing
things they've never seen before. Iguanas on top of poles that they're working on. You know, it's like, what's this thing? You know, fun story.
Mike Mino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, our guest today. Dave Potratz, our producer. Jill Nadeau, Dave Potratz is our engineer. Jill Nadeau is our producer here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest of Our Wisconsin Magazine. You know him as Mike Mino, and that's his name, and we're having a lot of fun talking with him about things going on around the state and what's going on in the magazine. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's take a call from Bob in Appleton. Bob, hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Just wanted to bring up something in the Appleton area now. There's a new company that started that offers guided kayak tours along the Fox River. And it's kind of an interesting perspective. They'll take you through the locks and things of that nature. And being a lifelong resident of Appleton, you never really realize being in the water, it takes a whole different perspective. They take you down for the old paper mill sites and things of that nature. And they also offer paddleboard yoga classes. If that's not an interesting concept. So it's just something that I think is worth looking into. Fox River Kayaking, you just Google Fox River Kayaking Company, and they're on there. But you go out on the tour, you'll see eagles coming back, the nest in the area. There's heron out there. You'll see deer eat along the side of the river and things of that nature. It's pretty interesting. So,
oh, that sounds great.
That
yeah.
So.
Thanks, Bob. You haven't written about that one yet, have you, Mike?
We haven't written about that, but we ran a photo. Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but do they do something called a lock jam, something like
well,
that?
Well, that's a different group. Yeah, they do that every year, an annual event that they'll get like 100, 120 kayakers, and they'll travel through the locks.
Oh.
Yeah, they pack them all
in. And that's individual kayakers, but this is a company that offers guided tours. You can bring your own kayak if you'd like, but they have sit-down kayaks. They have kayaks for children and adults. It's very, very user-friendly.
Oh, interesting.
Great. Yeah, you're right. Your perspective changes. Having grown up on the Fox River, you know, I never got out there very often, cross it in a bridge. But you get out there in the water and get down at that level, you do see it from a whole different perspective.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bob. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Ken in Mayville, let's go to you next. Hi, Ken.
Hey, first of all, I have to say, that rock wall, I do a lot of foraging in that area, and that is absolutely amazing. I saw the guy out working on it one day. I didn't realize he was the one that actually made it. It's really interesting to hear that history on it. But as you tell, I'm from out west originally, and I've only been out here about 10 years. And I have to say, being out west, a lot of people make fun of Wisconsin and all that, but this state's really grown on me. I think it's a pretty fascinating place. I absolutely love the Driftless region. Now, if you had a little bit more higher mountains, you'd probably satisfy all my needs, but it's definitely a very interesting state. I like it a lot.
Oh, Ken, thanks a lot for calling. Comment from you, Mike?
You know, Ken, We have a department in the magazine, Why I Moved to Wisconsin, What I Like About Wisconsin. Why don't you write something up and send it in sometime for consideration?
Ah, that's not a bad idea. I hope you'll do that.
We love that perspective. The magazine's filled end-to-end with stories from natives here, but we really like to get the perspective of somebody who appreciates this place and came to appreciate it later.
And it's fun to hear, to see, read all the stories that people write. And one of the kind of the cool things is that sometimes you get a pie if you write a story for our Wisconsin magazine, and you got a cool story about a pie that you sent all the way to Germany.
Yes, we did. Another example of stuff that comes flying in here from out of left field. Some opera performers in Germany at the Theater Hagen are fans of our Wisconsin magazine. One happens to be a baritone singing there from the United States. His name's Ken Matthijs from Wautoma. Okay, and Ken's a farm kid, 4-H'er. He performed in the Kids from Wisconsin musical troupe, and he went on into show business, operas, singing, and he's probably been to, I don't know, sung in a dozen countries. Well, he's under contract in Theater Hagen, and brings his Wisconsin magazines for everybody to read, and he sent in a photo of himself and three others in costumes, some pretty crazy costumes,
yes,
wearing a pink cowboy outfit, and one's dressed like an octopus. These are people from Wiesbaden, Germany, and London, England, and Porto Alegre, Brazil. All these performers are in costume reading our Wisconsin, and they said, hey, you send Amish pies in return. We do. Our Amish diarists, we send pies as a thank you gift for people whose photos appear in the magazine. He says, I heard you sent one to Honolulu, and we did. You ever try Europe? Maybe we can set a record for distance. Okay, you're on. So we printed this crazy photo. We had them send a photo of themselves in street clothes, enjoying their pie, and our Amish diarist, Owen Yoder, in Cecil, said he was up to it, and he packed up these two pies and shipped them, 4,107 miles, pie in the sky, to Germany. And we said, you're on. And so they sent this photo, and they're enjoying their pie. But sorry, Ken, I had to disappoint him, because if you look on Google Earth, the distance from Manitouish Waters, where our office is, to Honolulu is 4,124 miles. Hagen, Germany, is only 4,107 miles. So fell a little short, Kenny, but they did enjoy the pie.
And the pie made it.
We did set a record with for shipping cost. We sent two pies. So if that makes them feel any better, we're out a few more nickels.
Okay. Todd and Delavan emailed that he enjoys the Blues Fest in Prairie du Chien the last weekend of July. This will be his 21st year of attending. He and his wife bring their travel trailer and camp on site at the fest. He says it's a laid-back atmosphere, great fun, with great music and food. So the Blues Fest in Prairie du Chien, the last weekend of July.
Yeah, love the blues, and I know that's down on St. Ferial Island. And I haven't had a chance to hit that Blues Fest, but being a big fan of that genre of music, I think I ought to get down there. There's a nice festival at Big Bull Falls Blues Fest in Wausau. They're all around, and they bring in some pretty big performers all across the state.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, a lot of us have favorite sports heroes, and it's really special when you get to meet them. One of your field editors got to meet his a number of times.
Yeah, Hank Aaron, we're talking about a hero to many, especially in Wisconsin, due to the glory years of the Braves when they won it all. But he's got a fan in our Shawano County field editor, Jim Leuenberger. Jim's got a good eye for a story, and we have field editors, they're volunteers, really, in just about all the counties in Wisconsin. And they turn in stories and photos, and they also give us tips on stories to chase ourselves here from the office. Well, Jim, I was talking a minute ago about that unique outside perspective. For those of us who grew up in Wisconsin, we're swimming in pro sports. Of course, you got the Packers, Brewers, Bucks. There are some people, sports fans, that are not so blessed. Iowa being a neighboring state without any pro sports. Jim grew up in Iowa, and he would listen to the Braves while his father was. They were milking cows in their barn in Fort Atkinson, Iowa. He became a fan in '55. 60 years later, he's still a fan. He's got a wall in his home. His rec room is given over to Braves and Henry Aaron memorabilia.
Cool photo.
He's got signed bats, balls. He's got jerseys from Henry Aaron. You name it, he's got it there. And he swears he's not a stalker. He's followed Henry Aaron through his career. He saw his first game, two games, doubleheader at age 8 in 1956 in County Stadium, and we have a photo of him there. After the Braves moved to Atlanta, he went down to watch Hank Aaron as he was chasing Babe Ruth's record, saw him hit number 715 to claim the record. And to this day, when Hank Aaron came back to the Brewers, or back to Milwaukee, traded to the Brewers in '75 to finish out his career, Bud Selig brought him back here. Jim Leuenberger happened to have moved here, and so from out east, and watched him for the rest of his career. Well, to this day, he's supporting Henry Aaron's Chasing the Dream Foundation, which gives scholarships to disadvantaged kids. And he was Jim even traveled to the Hank's Hall of Fame induction. Followed him his whole life, and really, Henry Aaron, what a model citizen and great man he has been. He couldn't have picked a better hero.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people in Wisconsin would agree.
It's a nice story, really nice story. Nancy in Grafton has something for us. Let's go there. Nancy, hello.
Well, hello. Up in Marathon County, east of Stratford, there's a Rock Ridge Orchard. It's owned by Daniel and Julie Knitter, and they have three sons, and they have a big orchard, and they have, this is what they did now. They built a barn, and they have wedding receptions and parties in that barn in the upstairs. It is absolutely beautiful. And they have a retail kitchen there. They subcontract their commercial kitchen to farmers or people who want to come and bake in their kitchen. And it's just a beautiful place, and they provide apples for the school systems in the area. They have a thing where they have wagon rides and stuff for children and toy areas for children to play. It is absolute beautiful place, and it's east of Stratford on 153.
Rock Ridge Orchard.
Rock Ridge Orchard, yes.
Oh, well,
beautiful, beautiful place. And good, hardworking people.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. Mike?
Nancy, I'll bet you grew up in that area, did you not?
How did you know?
Because you said it correctly. You didn't say Marathon. Say it for me again.
Marathon.
There you are. Folks around there say Marathon.
There you go.
But, yeah, that's a good tip. There are some wedding barns in the area, but in the state. We did one on a place called Sugarland in Arena, run by Bobby Hines, the old boxer. This orchard, it sounds like there's a lot of other aspects to it. And thank you for that tip, Nancy.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy, for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Adian in Milwaukee a chance to join us. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I just wanted to mention the Native American Flute Festival, which meets in Eau Claire at the University of Wisconsin in Eau Claire, and it will be from August 1st to 5th this year. And I don't know if they do this every year or every few years, but for people interested in flute music, it would be easy to check into it online, I'm sure. I don't have a specific address, but it's held University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and this year, August 1st to 5th.
And the Native American Flute Convention, mm-hmm. It's an international convention?
I believe it is. I know it's definitely from all over the United States, and I think it's also international.
Oh, Mike, that'd be a cool one to cover.
Yes. We often have stories about Native Americans in the magazine, there's powwows. They're quite colorful. There's the wild rice harvest. We've had numerous stories, but this is one I've never heard of. And there's flat art. There's different things like that. But thank you so much for that tip. I think that's one definitely worth following up on. Native American communities are very important in Wisconsin.
Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to Patty in Oshkosh next. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Larry. Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, good talking to you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to tell you about a special event that we have coming up in Butamore, Wisconsin. Do you know where that is?
I believe I do.
Is there a bridge there?
There is a big bridge there.
Thank you.
Over Lake Butamore. Anyway, we are celebrating our bicentennial on August 11th. The bicentennial is celebrating the founding of the first trading post in Butamore, Wisconsin. That was established by Augustine Grignot and Jacques Porlier back in 1818. And we're going to have a little parade starting at 10 o'clock. And we are going to be rededicating a historical marker that actually marked the Butamore being named the county seat in Winnebago County that, unfortunately, 3 years later, Oshkosh stole from us.
Oh.
We have actually been named county seat for the day on August 11th by the Winnebago County Board. So we're having a mock county board meeting that day to rename us county seat. We will have a fur trader encampment and some Native American dancers that are coming to us from Menominee, a boys and girls club in Menominee. And we'll have food and a great time.
Oh, that sounds like fun too, doesn't it, Mike?
Patty, you know, those scoundrels in Oshkosh, and I can say that because I was born there, okay? It sounds like you're having fun with it. Winnie County isn't the only place that has a story like that. When they seceded from the U.S. for a day, that's a pretty famous story. So I'm glad you're bringing light to this one. And county seat for a day, that sounds like fun.
It does.
I think you should be county chairman for the day, Patty. Can you arrange that?
Oh, wow, that would be really cool, wouldn't it?
I want you to be. Who do I got to call?
The next day, on the 12th, they have an event, it's an annual event called Carp Fest, where they actually serve bowls of carp chowder.
Okay. That's worth a story. We've had a story about the Delafield coon feed.
The carp chowder. I haven't had carp chowder. I've had smoked carp many times. And pickled, but I've never had carp chowder.
We're gonna have to have that.
Yeah, thanks, Patty. Appreciate the call. Wow, I hope she makes it as chairman for a day.
Yep.
Let's go to Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Larry. Great to talk with you folks. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard the gentleman just describing his friend's encounters with Henry Aaron. And I'm a huge baseball fan, and I was fortunate to have a chance encounter with Henry Aaron at the Milwaukee Airport years ago. And he was just incredibly, for as famous and the hundreds of thousands of people that he's met in his lifetime, he was just incredibly gracious and friendly and open, and we visited for about 20 minutes and just had a wonderful conversation. So I salute Mr. Leuenberger, and he couldn't have a better candidate for a shrine, except with the possible exception of Ernie Banks, who was my hero and who I was able to visit with on two separate occasions, once as a little boy and many years later as a grown man.
Oh, great stories, Steve.
Steve, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing that. Well, Henry Aaron is just a great, great, great person. So, well, I tell you, we got lots of other things that we can talk about in terms of the magazine. You know, a lot of interesting museums in the state. I visited many over the years, and I hadn't heard of the one that you featured from Beloit. So tell us about that one.
Yeah, Angels Among Us. The world's largest angel museum, okay? And it's the home to over 12,000, okay, unique figurines from 60 countries. And it started as just a personal collection by a couple named Joyce and Lowell Berg of Beloit. Now, we get stories about collections, and we've got the Pencil Museum we had in our last issue. Now we got the Angel Museum. Collections are fun, but the problem with collections is you've got to find a place to put them. And people run out of space in their homes, and this is what happened with the Bergs. And so what are they going to do with 12,000 angels, 10,000 at the time? They got a call from a tour planner asking to bring a busload of folks to their home to see the 12,000 angels as word got out about them back in the 90s. And so they went ahead, and a church was slated for demolition downtown, built in 1914. St. Paul Catholic Church had served an Italian congregation there for decades, was moving to a new place. And they saved the building, and the Angel Museum opened there. And Joyce wears her angel wings, and she is the docent at the museum and takes people through it. It became famous in 1998 on Oprah Winfrey's show. She happened to mention she never saw any black angels. Why not? And, well, her viewers had, and they started sending them in. Pretty soon she's got more than 600. And she had to find a home for her collection. Guess where they went? So, anyway, you can go there, and you can see the Angel Museum. Over 185,000 visitors from across, from every U.S. state, every continent, they've visited this museum. And it's there along the Rock River for you to enjoy.
It's really cool. Well, Mike, our Wisconsin, is your subscription, number of subscriptions continuing to grow?
Yeah, we're a little bit over 100,000 circulation. I've heard recently we're a little bit bigger. We're bigger than Midwest Living is here in the state, and it's growing. Some ink on paper publications aren't, but for some reason this one seems to go, and I think the reason's quite obvious. People love Wisconsin, and we're humbled and honored to put their stories in here. A lot of heartfelt stories come directly from the readers, and that's what we try to do. We try to make this as much as possible from neighbors, from people a lot like you, and it seems to be working.
I tell you, I laughed out loud when I read the little story from the woman whose husband always had a hard time with names, and he was at a restaurant that they go to pretty often, a new gal there, and asked her name, and maybe you want to finish that story, or maybe
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's see. Carol Herman from Portage wrote in, and she said that her husband always had great difficulty remembering names, and she claims he always calls her honey, rather than Carol, you know. And so her husband Don, and they went to a restaurant, and he asked the server her name, and she said Carrie, and he said, "I'll remember your name, and I promise, because I'm going to remember the song Carry Me Back to Old Virginia." A few days later, they return to the restaurant, and he spots Carrie, and he's got a big grin on his face, and he said, "Good morning, Virginia."
I laughed out loud when I read that.
That's from a little department we call My Most Embarrassing Moment, and people, you ask them, and they send in.
Oh, man. Well, Mike, I tell you what, it's always a great pleasure to talk with you, and I hope we'll have a chance to talk when the next issue comes out. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Larry. It's always fun.
Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, all about our state. It's always fun to talk with Mike. And you know what? A couple of months, the next issue comes out. We'll have him back, and we'll do this all over again. Well, we've certainly had our share of rain recently, especially in southern Wisconsin today, and north and far north too. And today we're going to be taking a closer look at our very wet May and June with the weather guys. And that's coming up next here on the Ideas Network. You stay with us.